Glory to Jesus. Amen. You know, I was thinking of that verse in that song where it says it trembles at His voice. Amen. Did you know that when the Word of God comes forth, the Word that God said that He sent and healed us by, your sickness, your disease, your infirmity trembles at the voice of His Word. Praise God. So if you're comfortable and your sickness and disease, and you don't want anything getting messed with in your life, you might as well just leave right now, because it's definitely not comfortable in the presence of His Word and His anointing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Well, it's good to see everybody this morning. I was supposing we would see a couple of ducks stroll in here today, but praise the Lord, God is good. And let me just give you a quick word of exhortation. It is easy that when circumstances like a lot of rain or anything else in our life comes, there is a temptation that comes up in our flesh to do what? Murmur and complain and gripe and moan. Don't do that. It did not turn out well for the children of Israel in the wilderness when they did that. And we want it to turn out well with us, right? So let's be thankful. Praise God. It can always be worse. I exhorted a friend this morning who was dealing with a lot of setbacks and a lot of different things that had happened. And I sent him a little picture that I saw on Facebook the other day of these guys that said, "You think you're having a bad day?" And they're taking this selfie with a bunch of bricks behind him. He said, "You think you're having a bad day?" He said, "We just delivered 6,000 bricks to the wrong address." It can always be worse, praise the Lord. So, amen. God is good. Let's be thankful and focus on the good stuff. Speaking of the good stuff, you can open your Bible to Acts chapter 28. The last chapter in the book of Acts, but let me correct myself. It's actually not, because how many of you know the book of Acts is still being written? There was no amen at the end. The church is still here. God's still doing miracles. How many of you are thankful for that? That Jesus Christ, Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? So what's He the same in doing? Well, Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So if Jesus was going around 2,000 years ago doing good to everybody and healing everybody that was oppressed of the devil, then He must still be doing that today. Amen? So we need to receive His best in our life. Praise God. Jesus is still doing it. How's He doing it? Through His body. Through the church. And you know, I'm going to get into my Sunday's message a little bit, but it's time we change our identity. And we don't see Jesus as being up there in heaven somewhere, and we're so detached from Him. The Bible says we're one spirit with Him. Amen? We need to have a new identity because we are His body. That's not just a metaphorical way of describing who we are. We actually are, spiritually speaking, the body of Christ, and He is the head. Therefore, as He is, so are we in this world. So God's still doing good through us. He's still healing people through us. So we need to receive that in our lives and walk it out. Can I get another amen?
Amen.
Well, I am doing a series here on these Thursday mornings. I believe this morning is going to be the final one that I'm doing in this. I'm calling it Healing in Action. And I put a little S in between the act and the shun. Amen. In there, because healing is still in action because we see it in the book of Acts, amen. So it's still happening today, praise God. And we've made a big point about this in Acts chapter 1, how it talks about these were the things that He wrote before in the Gospel of Luke. He said these are the things Jesus began to do, amen. He didn't finish doing them. It was why? He's still doing it through the church today in the book of Acts. So we've been studying many of the different healing accounts that are very similar to the healings that took place in the Gospels. In fact, you see the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ ministering to people exactly like their master did, amen, and getting the same results. So we've been going through each one of these particular healings. We studied the healing of the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. We spent a couple of weeks on that. Then we studied the healing of Aeneas in Lydda. We spent a week on that from Acts chapter 9. And then later on in Acts chapter 9, we studied the healing, or more literally, the resurrection of Dorcas, who was also called Tabitha, who lived in Joppa. And then finally, last week, we studied the crippled man who was healed in Lystra. Amen. So today, we're going to look at one more healing, and it's the healing of Publius's father. I'm saying Publius. You can call him Publius, whatever you want to. I was describing him Sunday and said, this is that guy from Fort Valley, you know. Amen. Praise God. But no, Publius, whatever you want to call him, was a real man that lived back in those days. And he had a father who was sick, and we're going to look at what his particular illness was and how Paul ministered to him. But what we're going to do is we're going to go through this story because there's a lot of other lessons we can learn in it. So let's look at Acts 28, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10. Acts 28, beginning in verse 1, says, "Now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live.' But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In that region there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary." Let's pray. Father, thank you right now for your word. The word that causes sickness and disease to tremble. The word that was sent to heal us. The word that had stripes laid on his back that we would be healed from every category of disease and sickness that's on this planet. We thank you for your word that comes with great power like a hammer, like a fire, and that burns up and quenches everything the enemy would try to stir up in our lives. And we thank you for the author of this word, the Holy Spirit, who lives on the inside of us to give us revelation knowledge, to teach us, to guide us into all truth. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are teaching us today, and we are going to receive manna from heaven. We say today, give us this day, Lord, our daily bread. And we thank you for delivering us from all of our diseases, afflictions, and healing us through the power of your word and the power of your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Say it with me. Say, I'm going to get something good today. God's going to speak to me today. He sent his word and healed me and delivered me from all my destructions. Amen. Praise God. Well, we've got an interesting story here in Acts 28 and verse 1. It starts off when it says, "And now when they had escaped." Now, if you read chapter 27, this is the chapter that is consumed with this voyage that they were having to go to Italy when Paul appealed to Caesar. And there was a storm that came up, and basically they lost all their goods, the ship sunk, and they had to basically grab a hold of things, and they survived on this particular island. And notice what it's called. "Now when they had escaped, then they found out that the island was called Malta." I oftentimes dream of this island, the island of Malta. And on it is Mount Carmel. Praise the Lord. Are you getting hungry right now? Praise God. I'm just joking. I'm just trying to make y'all laugh to start off with this morning. Praise the Lord. It's just the way my mind works. Hallelujah. But the name of the island was called Malta. Hallelujah. "And the natives showed us," boy, you need to highlight this, "unusual kindness." Glory be to God, unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. And if you look at that last verse again that we read, verse 10, they also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. How many of you know that this is not just supposed to be a reality in the life of the Apostle Paul, it's supposed to be the real deal in all of our lives? All of us are supposed to be walking in unusual kindness and the favor of God. And that's the way I would describe it as well. Praise God. So it's obvious, though, that when you look at the church, that not everybody experiences this, right? And you know why that is? It's because it's not automatic. Just as it is with everything, from our salvation to our healing, the list goes on and on. These things don't just fall on us like an apple out of a tree. The kingdom of God does not come by hoping and praying. It comes by sowing and reaping. When we begin to believe the Word of God, when we begin to embrace the truth, when we begin to receive and not repel God's goodness and favor in our lives, it will come because God wants us to have it. Amen. Unusual kindness, favor from God. I remember early in my Christian walk, I'd gotten saved and my life was turned around. And I'm going to tell you, I came out of some bad stuff. I was what Fred Sanford would call a trout mouth heathen. Amen. I was the worst of the worst before we were saved. But man, when I got saved, my life was changed. My eyes were open. And for the first year of my salvation, I'm experiencing the favor of God. Supernatural debt cancellation. In the past, Pharaoh was consumed in my Red Sea, glory to God. Things changed in my life as a result, and I remember starting to study these things, and the Lord was showing me, hey, he's no respecter of persons, praise God. What he did for one, he'll do for another, amen. And I'd gotten that revelation, but I'm looking at the rest of the church, people that had been saved many years before me, and I was experiencing what seemed like what the prodigal son experienced, in that I obtained my inheritance, while the elder son hadn't partaken of anything that the father had already given him. And so I'm seeing this, and I remember praying, and I was like, God, why am I experiencing such your favor in my life? And I said, you're no respecter of persons. You're no respecter of persons. And the Lord interrupted me, glory to God. Thank God for divine interruptions. And he says to me, I am not a respecter of persons, but I am a respecter of faith and diligence. What that means is God's not showing favoritism to people and saying, well, I'm going to bless this person, I'm choosing not to bless this person. No, what God's doing is he's looking for a people. As 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards them. Now, how do people perfect their hearts before them, before the Lord? It's they do it. The Lord's not doing that for them. Amen. They choose to guard their own heart and keep it full of the things of God. So God's wanting to show himself strong on behalf of those people. Praise God. So it's essentially not God choosing who's blessed and who's favored. It is us choosing if we're going to enter into that or not. Amen. And even, I'm going to get into my message again from Sunday, even the Lord Jesus Christ had to grow in this favor. Now, I'll tell you, religion does not like to hear that. They like to think Jesus knew everything. Jesus had all the blessings. Jesus was just as favored from the moment he was born to the time he went to the cross. No, that's not true. You go read Luke chapter 2 and you'll find out that he grew. Say he grew. He grew in wisdom. He increased in favor with God and man. So if Jesus has to increase in favor, guess who else has to increase in favor? Me and you. We got to learn how to submit to it. So how do you increase in the favor of God and receiving the unusual kindness of both God and man? Glad you asked. James chapter 4 says this. James 4 and verse 6. Let's put this one up. Praise the Lord. James 4, 6 says, but he gives more grace. Come on, let's say that together. But he gives more grace. Did you know there's more grace to be had than just the amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me? There is more grace to be had for the church, because this is being written to believers. Amen. So how do you get more of this grace? Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So evidently, our pride can repel the grace on our lives, but our humility can attract it, right? Now, before we start putting it in this little box that we have of what pride and humility is, if you go and read this whole passage of Scripture, the one thing that's very clear about it is that the grace comes to the humble persons, which is the person that submits themselves to God, who draws near to Him. This is a God-dependent person. Amen? So when we submit to His Word, and when He says this, like for example, you have to submit to the fact that I'm favored. Instead of reasoning it away and saying, well, this doesn't work for me, and these things haven't happened, guess what you just did? Your pride is causing resistance. Amen. And how many of you know we don't need divine resistance? We need divine assistance. And that's what this grace is. It's divinely orchestrated favor of God working in our life, which causes us to have favor with the people we get around, God supernaturally providing things in our life, amen? And He'll do it, glory to God, just by living for God and receiving it and being open to what the Lord has for us. Can I get an amen? We need this favor in our life. And this right here is a big point of walking in healing, amen? Because how many of you know, the Bible teaches us, the psalmist says, He surrounds us with favor as with a shield. So the favor will repel sickness and disease a lot of times. It will bring supernatural protection in our life. Amen. So let's go back to Acts 28. And let's continue looking at what he said here. Acts 28. Praise the Lord. It says, the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But look at verse 3. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. Now, can you imagine what might have been going through Paul's mind at this point? I mean, the guy just went through a horrible length of time in the sea, through a storm where they didn't have any sunshine, probably no rest, they haven't eaten anything in days, they barely survived this shipwreck by the skin of their teeth, and they arrive on this island, and just right after all of this unfortunate, seemingly unfortunate situation was happening, he's trying to help and saying, hey guys, I'll put some wood on the fire, and a snake comes out and fastens onto his hand. I guarantee you there was a thought that went through his mind that was like, Lord, haven't I gone through enough? Hasn't it been bad enough? Why is this happening to me? Yang, 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 yang. Now, I don't believe he succumbed to that, which is because of what we'll see here in a moment, but all I'm saying is he dealt with the same feelings we do. But how many of you know that's not the right reaction? When you seemingly have everything bad happening and hitting you like this, that is not the right response to say, God, because it's wrong. It's a wrong mentality, because you're like, God, isn't this enough? Because what that's implying is God's the one that's causing all these things to happen. Right? How many of you know not everything happens because of some divine guide and plan and some chess thing that was happening? You remember back in the, what was that movie? Clash of the Titans, that was it. You remember the gods were up in the heavens moving people around like chess pieces? And that's the way people see God, like He's doing that. No, some things just happen because we live in a sin-cursed, fallen world. Some things happen because the devil's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, you can make your own assumption of what was happening here, but I love what Paul did. When the viper came out fastened on his hand, let's look at the next verse. Verse 4. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. We'll get back to that in a moment, but look at verse 5. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. When you get snake bit, now I'm not just talking about actually bit by a snake, but I'm talking about when these situations happen to where it's like, man, God, why does this keep happening to me? Why am I dealing with all these things? When that happens, it is imperative that your initial response is to just shake it off and go on. Amen. In other words, how you respond to the symptom, to the circumstance, to the bad report, specifically how you initially respond, is key and critical. Minton said something a few weeks back that I think is a very important point. He was saying this concerning himself, and I believe it's true for all of us. He said, I have come to find out that it's a whole lot easier to stay healed than it is to get healed. And why is that? Because it's like weight. It's a whole lot easier to stay thin than to get thin, right? Why? Because once you've allowed it to get the roots down, there's going to take a little bit more fighting to get rid of it, whether it's sickness, disease, whether it's any other physical or natural thing. So I believe that the way we respond, and a lot of times what happens is, I think that a lot of times the devil comes and brings symptoms and different things, just like a fisherman throws that lure down into the water. And he's giving you the opportunity whether you're going to bite it or whether you're going to reject it and swim on. And I think far too many people, it's like, they get a little twitch. Oh, and then what happens? Cancer. It might be cancer. And then they take it, and then they go to the doctor and get tested out, and they go and do all these different things. And in a lot of cases, empower the symptom to bring its fruit in their life. I can't tell you, this has happened to me a lot of times. I'll have little pains and different things. You remember I was telling y'all this story one time. I was sitting in my recliner over in the church office over there, and I was sitting in there, and all of a sudden, this particular day, I was having pain, discomfort in an area of my body that I'm not supposed to. And I'm telling you, I had a choice at that time of what I was going to do. And you know what I did? At this time, we had a guy that was living in the church office over here, Drayton Hall. He'll amen this, but he was in the house. It was just me and him. This was before Bruce and Robert. And I'm sitting in there, and all of a sudden from my office, I said, no, this will come on me. You're a thief. You're just coming to steal from me, and I will not receive it in Jesus' name. No, this is not my inheritance. And I am shouting, I'm hollering, I'm so certain Drayton thought somebody had broken the house and was trying to steal our stuff. But guess what? Somebody was trying to come in my house and steal my stuff. But because I knew it was mine, I didn't let him do it. That's why you got to know what's yours. You got to know healing is yours. So that when the enemy does come in and tries to tempt you, you know without a shadow of a doubt, healing is my inheritance and I do not have to accept anything less than that. And you fight it. You know, the way we would react, some of you that say, well, that's just not my personality, Pastor. You want me to do that again? Well, that's just not my personality, Pastor. Yeah, guess what? That's not going. I guarantee you, your personality will change if somebody broke in your house and started taking your stuff. You're going to just sit in there and let people take your computer out and your jewelry and stuff like that? No! You're going to do something about it, right? Because why? You know that's your stuff. You need to know this is your stuff too. Shake it off and go on. Amen. I love that. And look what it said. And suffered no harm. Oh, glory to God. He suffered no harm. How many of you know he was fulfilling Scripture here? Because what did Jesus say? Jesus told us in Mark chapter 16, you can take up serpents and they won't harm you. In fact, go over to Luke chapter 10. Let's look at this one. He gave us a lot of awesome promises. And now I am targeting the coronavirus. I call it the corona-like virus. Hallelujah. You know why? Because I'm not going to empower it. The world's going to try to empower it and say, oh, you better watch out. You better wash your hands. You better fist pump everybody. In fact, just give them a foot bump. Don't even touch hands with them. Wear the mask. No. Psalm 91 is mine. Psalm 91 is yours. And though 1,000 fall at one side, 10,000 at my right hand, it shall not come near me. Amen. We will not receive that. And that's the way you got to talk. You got to believe that way. And people, you know why they don't like to talk that way? Because they think they're going to jinx it if they do. They're more superstitious than they are in believing in the truth. Oh God, don't you know the devil will hear you, Cecil, if you start talking like that? Yes! I hope he hears me. Luke chapter 10. And some of you out there are thinking right now, you're listening to me and you're like, oh, Pastor, please don't talk that way. I don't want to see you get sick and die. You're not going to see me get sick and die. Amen. Luke chapter 10. This is the way you need to talk too. I'm telling you, this is humility. See, people think this is pride. It's humility. Because why? I'm agreeing more with what God said than what anybody else thinks. You know, I use this example a lot. I got this one from my father in the faith, but Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. It says, Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth during that day. Powerful man. I mean, out of a million, we know there was a million Jews. How many more people were on the planet? He was the most humble person on the planet at that time. Isn't that awesome? What's even more amazing is that he wrote that about himself. Yeah, he wrote Numbers. So he said, I'm the most humble guy on the whole face of the earth. Amen. That's one of the most humble things you can say. If God says you're the most humble person, you're the most humble person. And then I'm walking in reality. So if I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that's one of the most humble statements I can make. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm having fun this morning. Look at this. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Look at this one. I love this promise. Then the 70. Oh, the 70. Look at that. How many? The 70. Not the 12. Why is that important? Because so many people believe, oh, this was just true for the apostles, the 12 disciples. No, this is the 70. This means it went farther beyond the apostles. So this isn't just true for the apostles. It's true for the disciples. And how many disciples I got in this place? Amen. You should be raising your hand. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. You know, they were thrilled. They were going around and they were just using the name of Jesus to cast demons out. And they were so excited. We're getting results. And you know, most of us would do that too. If we're going around casting demons out around middle Georgia, we'd be coming back. You'd come back and say, Pastor, the demons are even subject to us. Look what Jesus' response was. I love this. Look at the next verse. Verse 18 says, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now, what in the world's that got to do with the demons being subject to him? Jesus is going back and recounting that I was the Word that was in the beginning. And there came a time when Lucifer rose up. And he tried to rebel against God. He took a third of those angels with him. And they came against God. And guess what happened? God flicked him out of heaven like a flea. Boom! And he was so quick to fall from heaven. It was like a lightning bolt. Now, you know what a lightning bolt's like, right? I mean, if you blink, you miss it. Boom! It's just like a picture. You don't see it. You just see it. That's some fast stuff right there. And that's what happened with Satan. You want to know what that means? You know what his point was? His point was this. It's no big deal that the demons are subject to you in my name. Because when Satan had all of his arsenal coming against God the Father, God just flicked him out of heaven and he fell and hit the earth with such impact. That's why I believe hell's in the middle of the earth. Because he came down with such impact. Praise the Lord. It got put in there. Glory to God. Look at the next verse. Behold. Oh, come on. Somebody help me out. What is Pastor's translation of the word behold? Check this out. Come on, man. It's like look, but check this out. Voila. This is some awesome news. Behold. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Unless you get confused to think he's just talking about physical, natural things on this planet of a dog biting you or a snake biting you or something like that. And over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy leaves nothing undone. So anything that could hurt you spiritually and physically, he said, he's given us the authority over it, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Just like Paul saw no harm when he got bit by that viper. That is for each and every one of us. Can I get an amen again? That's our reality. But see, he gave you the authority. He didn't say he's going to do it for you. What's that mean? You have to understand your authority. You got to know that just like God in the very beginning took Adam and said, I'm going to put you over the garden, and you're going to tend and keep it. And then everybody gets all wigged out and flipped out about the devil being there. And why did God let Adam bite into that fruit and all this kind of stuff? It was Adam's fault. God had already said, you tend and keep it. You have authority over all these different things. God's not going to go back on his word and then try to do all these different things. That's why it's like, you know, we say all these things like, well, God just allowed all these bad things into my life to teach me something. You ever heard that before? God allowed me to fall and break my back so I'd look up to him. You know how I can prove to you that that's totally untrue? Because if God ever would have done that, he'd have done it when Adam had that fruit right up to his mouth. If he was ever going to do something to try to bring something better as a result, he would have done it with Adam. But no, God's going to let us. If you want to choose death, he'll let you have it. Awesome virtue of God is his freedom. He gives us a free will, glory to God. So it's our authority to say, nope, devil, this will not harm me. Nope, I will not have this. So again, with that corona light virus, y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. You know, the corona beer. Whatever. I call it the light virus, glory to God, because it has no power. Praise the Lord. So what? What do? You got to quit empowering it. And don't look at it like, oh, it's so bad. It's going to happen. And a lot of this stuff is just by the propaganda of the media anyways. The world's trying to, and a lot of it's money stuff. You understand that? They report what they want to report. And you know, the devil is the god of this age, and he's the one that's in, he's working behind a lot of the stuff that comes out of media. So don't give a lot of weight to the things the media puts out. Because the devil's oftentimes below the surface on that, doing these things. Amen. Praise God. I'm preaching pretty good this morning. Amen. I'm having a good time. Amen. So let's go back to Acts 28. Glory to Jesus. I come over here and do this with myself. I don't even need anybody in these pews. I'll come over here and just preach. I'll just come over here and preach to myself a lot of times. I do. It's fun. Praise the Lord. You should do it too. Praise the Lord. Preach to yourself. Prophesy to your bones. Amen. So then, Acts 28 again. So it says, let's look at this phrase again. Let's go back to verse 3. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up and suddenly fall down dead, but after they looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now, I'm going to tell you, the way that these natives on this island responded to the bad thing that happened to him and then the good thing they saw as a result is the way most people in the world think today. They're spiritually superstitious, is that if bad things happen, it must be because you got some sin in your life and because you deserved it somehow. Karma! I love it. My son has been trained, and he was telling his friend, he had a friend spend the night the other week, and his friend was, he was playing a video game with him, and his friend said, you're so lucky. And Levi said, we don't believe in luck. I was like, go Levi, amen. We don't believe in luck. We believe in blessing. Amen. We don't believe in luck. We don't believe in karma. That's worldly talk. Amen. There is sowing and reaping, yes, but it's the blessing of God that we believe in. Amen. So that's the way these people were responding. And then they went on the other side of the ditch when they saw he didn't drop down and said, he's a god. You know, people do that all the time, man. It's, oh, because somebody walks in some anointing and power, they're super special. They're the select elect. They're the super saints, and they put them up on a pedestal. Don't do that. It's the goodness of God, amen, that we should always be giving our attention to. Praise the Lord. And then it says in verse 7, let's go to verse 7 now. Now we get to old Publius. Now we're on his estate. It says, in that region there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. Now don't make a mistake of separating how this man entertained them and how he honored them and provided for them, and disassociate that from what happened for his father. You see that as a principle throughout the Word of God, is that when the prophet was housed, what happened? Miracles came in their life as a result. Now, that doesn't mean that we go and just let people stay at our house all the time. What that does mean, though, is we show kindness to God's representatives. Because the way you treat them is the way you're treating God. And God will honor those who honor Him when they honor His representatives. Just the truth of the matter. Praise the Lord. So then, this man was there. And then verse 8, and it happened. How did it happen? He gets news that this man had a father who was sick. How do you think this happened? I don't believe Publius had Paul sitting there eating at a table one night, and he said, hey, can you come and heal my dad? I don't believe that's what happened. He had no reference point to know that this was even an opportunity. You'd have to add to the scripture to say that. I believe this is what happened, though, which teaches us how we should be ministering. They're probably sitting there breaking bread, and just in the discussion, Paul says, hey, how are things going in your life, Publius? He said, yeah, things are good. We got a little bit of a headache right now in our life because my dad's real sick. He's got this issue. And Paul's like, oh, interesting. Can I go see him? With the intention to know God's going to heal him. Amen? So that's the way our radar needs to be up all the time, listening for situations like that, and then step out in faith to go get the results. Praise God. So, it happened that the father of Publius lay sick with a fever and dysentery. All right? Now, this is actually a transliteration of the Greek word right here. So, dysentery is this. What is it? It describes an issue in the intestines or the bowels. Okay? That's what this is, right? So, he had a fever as a result of this issue he had in his bowel system or his intestines. Sounds to me like something like maybe diverticulitis, which is what? An inflammation of the bowels, right? Which can produce a fever in somebody. So evidently this guy had it to a certain level that it was a big deal. I like to study those things out, and you should too, because it brings it down home as how can I relate to this? Amen? So if I've got some kind of a issue that's going on here that's causing fevers and stuff like this, if the Lord will do it for Publius's father, He'll do it for me. Amen. So Paul went into him and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Now, there's a lot of good points here, and this will show you how to get results when you pray for somebody. The first thing is, he went into him, and notice this, he prayed. Doesn't say he prayed for him. In fact, it says at the end of this verse, he healed him. You know, there's a big difference that when you're ministering to the sick, you don't sit there and, this is not the way to do it, that you get the person and say, God, and I'm communicating with God, I'm praying to God, and God, I'm asking you to heal them right now. That's not the correct way to do it. This scripture says he laid his hands on him, and Paul, is what's implied, healed him. Boy, religion don't like to think of that, do they? Religion might say, who do you think you are to say you healed them? Well, everybody and their mama knows we don't have the power in ourselves to heal people. Okay? Let's get that out there. But that's still, at the same time, that doesn't mean we just throw it all over and say, well, God was the one that healed them. It had nothing to do with me. Not according to this scripture. Paul healed him. The truth is this. While it is God's power that works the healing in people, God has delegated that power to His church to use to heal people. So it's not incorrect for me to say, oh, Cecil healed that person. I know it's God that did it, but He was using the authority God had given Him, and in the name of Jesus He did that. It's like what Paul said. You remember with the lame man at the gate called Beautiful? Yeah, amen. What did he do? At the lame man at the gate called Beautiful, he said, such as I have, give I unto you. Amen. He didn't say, such as God has, we're going to pray that He'll do it for you. No, he knew what he had. And that's what we need to do. We need to know what we have and operate in this authority in our lives. Amen. So he went into him, but notice this, and prayed. And he laid his hands on him. You know what he did first? We saw this in the healing, I think it was of Aeneas and Lydda, is that Peter, when he went into this man, first prayed before he ministered to him. Why is that important to understand? Because, like Jesus said with the boy that was dealing with the epileptic seizures, you remember that? The ones that the disciples couldn't get healed? And they said, why couldn't we get results? What did Jesus say? He said, this kind does not come out but by prayer and fasting. See, there's certain times when we're going and tackling something, we need to be in the right frame of mind. We need to get connected with God in regards to my attention's on Him. I'm letting go of all the cares and all the glom that might have came in with me and the different things I'm going on. I get single focused and I turn my attention to heaven. Like Jesus, when He came to Lazarus' tomb, the Bible said He looked up. Put your attention on the Lord. Look away from the circumstances. And then you're positioning yourself to see better results. Praise God. And he laid hands on him. Fulfilling Mark chapter 16. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And he healed him. Praise God. Amen. And then verse 9 said, so when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. Now, I just got to thinking about this a little bit, and I want to share with you how I apply the Scriptures to my life to walk in these truths myself. A lot of times when these things are out there, these stories, they are symbolic. I mean, they're literal events that happened, but they have many hidden meanings in it. Like when you read the Old Testament, you know, it's actually giving us history. But at the same time, you can see Jesus all throughout it, right? And you can see symbolism there. And the Holy Spirit can communicate truths to you out of it. I believe the same thing is done there. Because if you look back at verse 8, the first thing that he said, and it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery, Paul went into him, number one, and prayed, number two, laid his hands on him, number three, and healed him, number four, and then the next verse starts off with, and when this was done. This is the way I think about it. I wrote this down. First, Jesus went into me. He went into him. First, Jesus went into me. That is, he entered me through the new birth, and by me receiving him as my personal Lord and Savior, Christ is in me. So just like Paul went into this man, went into the room with him. Jesus is in the room with me. Jesus is in my boat. He has entered me. And I visualize that. Because listen, just like when Jesus entered the temple and they had the money collectors and tax, all those different dudes doing that, and he pulls the whip out, cleans the house out. So if Jesus is in me, guess what happens? He cleans out all the things that are evil that don't need to be there. Visualize this. Then number two, now Jesus, my advocate and high priest, is praying and interceding for me. Oh, isn't that awesome? I think it's 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. It says we have an advocate in the heavens, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's actually on my side praying and interceding for me. I mean, have you ever actually thought about that? That Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and he's looking over at the Father, and he's saying, Father, do this for Betty Jean. Provide this for her. Take care of her in this way. I am interceding because my blood is on the mercy seat. I'm standing in the gap and everything. And Father, I'm reminding you of what I did on the cross. He's praying for you in your deepest, darkest infirmity. So just like Paul, went into him, prayed for him, and then what was the next thing he did? He laid his hands on him. What does this have to do with anything? How many of you know that when the Bible talks about how we are anointed, you know what anointed means? We all are anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me just like He was him. All right? The anointing, the word for anointing comes from the Greek word that literally describes, it was a medical term that described a physician pouring oil on his hands, saturating it in his hands, and then rubbing it into the patient for medicinal purposes. So essentially what happened when the Holy Ghost entered on the inside of me, I'm anointed because the hand of the Lord is upon me. Do you see that? The great physician has his hand on you, administering healing power. And he healed him. So the Lord is in me. He's interceding for me. He's my advocate. His hand is on me. I'm anointed. And therefore, He has healed me. And then, like the next verse said, verse 9, and when this was done, this is when your healing was done. Now I live in a place called done. I live in a place called done where my provision is. Just like Elijah said, the Lord said to him, I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. And his provision was in that place. Your provision is done. Because Christ is in you, interceding for you. Amen. And has put his hand upon you. All of this is my reality. It's your reality. It's a done deal. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. And what happens as a result of this? It said the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. Once I receive mine, other people can get theirs. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you know what that's like. You got a bunch of siblings. And you didn't necessarily have two nickels to rub together in your household. So that's what you had to do. You had to get there at the dinner table. You had to fight for that chicken leg, glory to God. You had to, this is mine, I'm going to get it. Praise the Lord. You know, in the kingdom of God, there's plenty for all of us. But you've got to take what's yours. The kingdom of God suffers violence. Yeah, you can get snake bit. But the violent, take it by force. The healing of Publius's father. Let's stand on our feet. Glory to Jesus. Amen. Did you get something out of that today? Praise the Lord. If that didn't catch you on fire, your wood is wet. And you need to sit in the heat for a little bit. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus forever. The healer's in the house. I believe Jesus, like Paul, went into this place today. And I believe He came in here, and boy, He's interceding. Oh, would to God that every person in here with anything missing, anything broken, will receive the Prince of Peace and receive healing and wholeness in their lives. It's His will. And He will put His hands on you. So Lord, we thank You for the anointing that's in this place to bring healing to the brokenhearted. Healing to those that are diseased or infirmed. Healing is ours. This is the healing in action, and we receive it from You in Jesus' name. If anybody has any sickness, any disease, any infirmity, anything that is just glommed onto you, you feel like you've been snake bit in this respect, it's time for you to come up here. Let us lay hands on you so we can shake that thing off of you and you can walk in the unusual kindness of our God. So if that's you, I want you to come forward. Mint and Julie, if y'all come forward to pray for people. Praise the Lord.